The following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on December 23, 2001 in Mumbai.
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shudha Bakata Sharanarenu Bhajananu Kula. Shudha Bakata Sharanarenu Bhajananu Kula. Bakata Seva Paramasiddhi Prema Lati Karamula.
Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Prema Lati Karamula.
Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Prema Lati Karamula.
Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Prema Lati Karamula.
Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori. Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori.
Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori.
Krishna Basati Basati Bali Parama Aderi Bodhi.
Krishna Vasati Vasati Bodhi Parama Aderi Bodhi.
Krishna Vasati Vasati Bodhi Parama Aderi Bodhi. Gauramara Shesabastane Koralo Brahmana Range.
Gauramara Shesabastane Koralo Brahmana Range.
Gauramara Shesabastane Karola Brahmana Range. Sesabastana Heribo Ami Pranayi Bakata Sange. Sesabastana Heribo Ami Pranayi Bakata Sange.
Sesabastana Heribo Ami Pranayi Bakata Sange.
Mirdanga Bhaja Sunite Mana Abhasara Sada Jache. Mirdanga Bhaja Sunite Mana Abhasara Sada Jache. Gaura Bihita Kirtana Suni Anande Hridaya Nache. Gaura Bihita Kirtana Suni Anande Hridaya Nache. Yugala Murti Dekiya Mora Paramananda Hoya. Yugala Murti Dekiya Mora Paramananda Hoya. Prasada seva kodito hoya sakala prapancha chaya.
Prasada seva kodito hoya sakala prapancha chaya.
Prasada seva kodito hoya sakala prapancha chaya. Jedina grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloka bhaya.
Jedina grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloka bhaya.
Jedina grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloka bhaya. Sharana Sidhu Dekiya Ganga Sukasa Sima Paya.
Sharana Sidhu Dekiya Ganga Sukasa Sima Paya.
Sharana Sidhu Dekiya Ganga Sukasa Sima Paya. Tulasi deki judaya prana madhava toshani jani.
Tulasi deki judaya prana madhava toshani
jani. Tulasi deki judaya prana madhava toshani jani. Gaura Priya Sakasevani Jivana Sartakamani.
Gaura Priya Sakasevani Jivana Sartakamani.
Gaura Priya Sakasevani Jivana Sartakamani.
Gaura Priya
Bhakati Vinod Krishna Bhajane Anukula Paya Jaha. Bhakati Vinod Krishna Bhajane Anukula Paya Jaha. Prati divasi paramasuke swikara koro yetha. Prati divasi paramasuke swikara koro yetha. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula.
Hare Krishna. With much gratitude in my heart, I welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. For the participation of the auspicious Sunday program, this Sunday feast program is a tradition that began in 1966. At the first center of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, 26 Second Avenue. Srila Prabhupada was giving morning and evening classes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and also Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In those days, not so many people came to the morning class, but many people would come for the evening class. Then they began, on Prabhupada's direction, to go out to preach Krishna consciousness. They would have a Harinam Sankirtan procession through the Lower East Side of New York. Sometimes they would go to Washington Square Park. Sometimes they would go to Tompkins Square Park. There, Srila Prabhupada would sit under a tree with his devotees and play a little drum. He did not have mridanga, a little bongo drum. He would chant Hare Krishna. It was there in Tompkins Square Park that Srila Prabhupada taught the devotees how to dance in kirtan in the same style as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates personally would, with folded palms or with their arms raised high. Since in the West, and in most of the world actually, Sunday is a day off from work and school, they inaugurated a special feast every Sunday. Srila Prabhupada would give lecture, he would lead kirtan, and he would also cook all the prasad. And sometimes the devotees would help him to serve the prasad. That was the beginning of Sunday feast program. It became very, very popular. For those who were very sincere, they would come to hear Srila Prabhupada speak the highest realizations of his pure love of God and hear him chanting the holy names and through the process purify their hearts. And for the general people, they would come because it was simply the most incredibly wonderful food that they ever had in their whole lives. Srila Prabhupada would make many, many gulab jamuns, and he'd give it to people to take home. But he'd give them just enough so they knew they had to come back for more by a certain date. And sure enough, they would all come back for more. Yes, I will give you after the lecture. They'd sit for the lecture, and after some time, they just decided, why do I keep going home and coming back? I should just stay here. So through this process, Vaishnavism took permanent roots in the Western world. And since that time, practically every center in ISKCON, there's approximately 400 in the world today, major centers, they all have this Sunday feast program. and most all the temples are filled with so many guests and devotees and congregation for the same simple program, chanting, dancing, and feasting. Srila Prabhupada explained, this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. Kevala Ananda Kanda. It is joyful process. Everyone loves to sing, to dance, and to take wonderful prasad. Here at Radha Gopinath Temple, we have been having this Sunday feast program since about 1987. It began with about 11 or 12 people, yes. And somehow, Radha Gopinath, when they appeared in this temple room, they began to attract the hearts of more and more and more very, very fortunate souls. Today they are appearing with the 8 Sakis to attract all of our hearts to their eternal loving pastimes in the spiritual world. Everyone is longing to love someone. Everyone feels unprecedented need to be loved by someone because it is our nature. Without expressing the dormant love in our heart and without receiving the love of someone who has the capacity to love, whatever arrangements we make in life, we cannot find any real happiness. You may find some peace in the environment around you, but the mind, the heart, is dissatisfied. Because this is the essential, most fundamental need of every living being, to love and to be loved. And the entire civilization that we have around us is somehow or other trying to figure out various ways of finding that fulfillment of the heart. But however much we are scientifically and technologically and industrially advanced, we find the heart remains empty. Unfulfilled, until we learn that Krishna is the all-attractive, supreme object of everyone's love. And He is the supreme giver of love. We will go on birth after birth after birth after birth, searching for one mirage after another in the desert of material existence. But the process of Krishna consciousness really is joyful. In other processes of yoga, we follow disciplines for the purpose of attaining a state where you can give up those disciplines once and for all, because they're troublesome. But in the path of bhakti, Krishna gives us the eternal activities of the spiritual world to engage our mind, our senses, and our very heart, our life. The means and the end is the same. Therefore, kevala ananda. It is a path that is simply joyful. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, what do you hope to get from this chanting of Hare Krishna? Most teachers of yoga or religion, when they're asked what you hope to get by the process, they will say, liberation, freedom of suffering, better material enjoyment, various yogic powers.
But when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what will you get from this chanting of Hare Krishna? Prabhupada, his answer was simple. We will attain the state where we will forever chant Hare Krishna in pure ecstatic love. In Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, everyone is engaged eternally in glorifying Krishna and chanting his holy names. Therefore, this process of bhakti, Krishna manifests himself in our life just to attract our hearts away from the frustrating attempts to lord it over material nature and to enter into his eternal divine pastimes. That is why we come to the temple, to attract our hearts to the pastimes, to the teachings, to the form, to the names of the Lord. In this beautiful prayer that was written by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, our beloved Acharya is expressing his incredible, spontaneous enthusiasm for the process of devotional service. At the beginning stage is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Sometimes we perform the process as an austerity because it's the order of Krishna, the scriptures, the sadhu, and the spiritual masters. Therefore we must. But we don't have so much realization. We don't have that much attraction. Sometimes the nature of the mind is we feel an attraction. But then another time the mind feels just the opposite, an aversion. This is the nature of the conditioned mind. Accepting and rejecting, hankering and lamenting. At one moment we're attracted and the next moment we're averse. We see that in our relationships with people. We see that in every aspect of our life. And that material mentality also imposes itself on the process of devotional service. Sometimes we just really want to come and see the deities. Sometimes it's just the last thing in the world we want to do. Sometimes we're eager to chant the holy names in kirtan. And other times we just want to go to sleep somewhere. Sometimes we're really anxious to hear Harikatha, and other times we're thinking, when will it end? So this is the nature of the mind. But through the process of performing these devotional activities, we gradually become purified. Adosha tatata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. Tato nartha nivikdisha tato nishta ruchistata. As we become purified, we come to the stage where our love of God more and more awakens. It awakens in stages, in proportion to our faith. Then we have great enthusiasm. We have great attraction for every aspect of bhakti. Because we find every single thing a devotee does, according to the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, is simply to please Krishna. It is a scientific process to give pleasure to Krishna. Mahabharata tells us, Mahajuna yena gata sapanta, that the process of bhakti is very much depending on our eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Actually, association with great sadhus gives such faith, because at the beginning stages, as a neophyte devotee, so much of what we believe in is theoretical. But when we see or hear about persons who really have this spontaneous attraction for Krishna and the activities of devotional service, it gives us something really to long for, to aspire for, to give our very lives to attract Krishna so that we can also have that mercy. You cannot achieve bhakti. Bhakti is a gift. It is sudurlabha. It is the rarest of all gifts. Because one who has bhakti conquers Krishna by his love. Therefore, Krishna only gives bhakti to one who is very, very sincere. When we read of the lives of the great acharyas, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the various history books on Vaishnavism, we see what is their love, what is their enthusiasm, what is their compassion, what is their ecstasy. Then we can understand that this is something real. This is what I want. When we read about the eternal associates of the Lord and see the simplicity of the nature of their pure, unalloyed love, we understand that that treasure is what I want. People in this world, they are aspiring to have something that a Bollywood movie star has, some charm and some popularity, some nice bodily features and lots of money and so many facilities to enjoy. Or some are aspiring to have what the champion cricket player has. I remember not long ago I was on an airplane with a champion cricket player. And we were talking so many things. He was very respectful, very receptive. And when I came off the plane, the people waiting for me, they were asked, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "I didn't know until he told me." How is it everybody knows? Then the word spread to the children that I was talking and preaching to a champion cricket player. And do you know, the next Sunday program, practically all the children of the congregation were in the front of the lecture. Ah, now you don't see them because that was a long time ago. But they're thinking like this, that if Swamiji is speaking to champion cricket player and the champion cricket player is listening to him, then we should also listen to him. They were eager and awake. So people aspire for what these types of people have. But devotees understand that really what do they have? Cricket players get old and their legs become, as we say, crickety. Can hardly walk, what to speak of run. And the movie persons, they get old too. And once they get old, people don't care to look at them in the screens. They're always in anxiety about maintaining their popularity and their position. It's a cruel world. You have it and you lose it. That's the nature of this place. Politicians. People are aspiring. But devotees, when they read about great acharyas' lives, Rupan Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the associates of Lord Krishna in Goloka, when we read about them and see what is their happiness, what is their ecstasy, what is their knowledge, we want what they have. We want that enthusiasm. We want that love. And on the basis of inspiration and faith that they give us through their lives, with great determination, we will follow the process of devotional service. This is the very great importance of associating with devotees. Today we are associating with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur through this beautiful song. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, "He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die, when Vaishnavas are living, still in sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and live to spread the holy name around." So through the sound vibration of their beautiful prayers, instructions, they live forever in the hearts of fortunate souls who receive their mercy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is eternally existing in the spiritual world. He performed his pastimes in this world with the same purpose as Krishna himself, to attract the conditioned souls back to the loving service of the Lord. And we can pray to these great souls, and they will hear our prayers, and they will respond. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Rupan Sanatan Goswamis, all of these acharyas are living through their sound vibration in our hearts. So let us hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur's incredible joy and enthusiasm for every single detail of the process of devotional service. Sometimes we take for granted the small things about Krishna consciousness. That is nature of a neophyte. But as we make advancement, real advancement, we begin to realize Krishna, his presence in everything we do. And therefore, every aspect of Krishna consciousness is simply ecstatic. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture. He said, "All we do is chanting, dancing, and feasting. It's simply a joyful process." Devotees inquired, "But Prabhupada, it's not exactly like that." He said, "No, it is like that. What else do we do?" "Well, it's not easy to get up in the morning, and following these four regulative principles is very difficult, and so many things." He said, "No, all we are doing is chanting, dancing, and feasting." So the devotee, he was silent, because he saw that that's all Srila Prabhupada does. In everything he do, it's simply a joy, because it's for Krishna. Then he asked everyone in the room, "What do we do?" And everyone in the room together said, "We are chanting, dancing, and feasting." This is the realized platform. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he begins, "The dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees is conducive to spiritual devotional service, while service to the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection and the root of the tender creeper of divine love." Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, he tells that unless one performs daily abhishekam, bathes himself in the dust of the lotus feet of those devotees who have no material hankerings, it is impossible to get out of the entanglement of material actions and reactions and attain the loving devotional service of the Supreme Lord. The dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas is the most sacred, precious element in this world. According to scriptures, all of the wealth of all of the heavenly planets, in fact, all the wealth of the universe, cannot be compared in value to one
particle of dust from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Even the Lord Himself is eager to get the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. We find Krishna, how He took the dust of the feet of Sudama Vipra and washed His lotus feet and sprinkled on His head. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He was always eager, when He was in the mood of a devotee, to take the dust of the feet of His servants. What does it mean to take the dust of the feet of a Vaishnava? It is not just an external ritual of just grabbing some particles. It's a state of consciousness. The feet are the lowest and usually considered the dirtiest part of the body. And the dust on the feet is the lowest part of the feet. So when we aspire to take dust from the feet of the devotees, we want to put it on our head. That means the lowest part of that devotee we want to put on the top of our heads. It means completely submitting to and humbling ourselves before that person. That's what it means to take dust. And how do we do that? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. By accepting the role of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. To actually want to be servant with one's heart, to want to hear from the Vaishnavas, to want to please the Vaishnavas, to want to honor, respect, and worship the Vaishnavas with humility. In our Vaishnava tradition, we are taught to call every other devotee Prabhu. If you call them Prabhu, that means you are Das. A Prabhu doesn't say Prabhu to another Prabhu. When you say Prabhu, that means I am Dasosmi. I'm servant. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is how he would greet people. Amongst the Vaishnavas, he would say, Dasoshmi, I am your servant. He considered service to the Vaishnavas the supreme perfection. Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he has declared that the supreme religious principle in all creation is service to the Vaishnavas. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells that he who considers himself my devotee is not my devotee. But one who considers himself devotee of my devotee, he is actually my devotee. In Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells his beloved Parvati that of all many varieties of worship, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vishnu, is supreme. But higher than that, higher than worshiping Vishnu, is worship of the devotees of Vishnu. Why? Because the devotees are so dear to Vishnu. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. Unless you please Vaishnavas, you cannot please Krishna. Sadhunam hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam vaham. Because a devotee has given his life to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates and gives his life to his devotees. Krishna claims that I am the property of the devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Vasudev Dutt, he said, I am simply Vasudev Dutt's man. I have sold my life to Vasudev Dutt. I am his property. Wherever he sells me, I am sold. Wherever he gives me, I am given. There is no way to have me except through Vasudev Dutt. I have given him proprietorship over my existence. That is Krishna's feeling toward his devotees. Therefore, if a devotee prays for us, Krishna will hear our prayer. If we offer our services to the spiritual master, to the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will accept our service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself is showing his own heart and also giving example. In Navadvipa, he would sometimes wash the clothes of his devotees in the Ganges. He would see them carrying some heavy load. He would take it and bring it all the way home for them. He would bring them tilak when they were doing their worship. He would bring them articles like flowers when they were doing their puja to Lord Krishna. Because he wanted to show the world that servant of the servant of the servant is the ultimate religious principle. Bhakti Vinod Thakur here is explaining it so precisely. Please hear what he's saying. He's saying that service to the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection. What do we do in the spiritual world? We are all servant of the servant of Krishna eternally. When we serve Vaishnavas, we are actually on the platform of the supreme perfection. It's the process, and it's also the supreme perfection of all processes. Therefore, there is nothing so purifying. Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues, and he says that service to the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection, and it is the root of the tender creeper of divine love. If you want to nourish a tree or a creeper, you do not do so by watering the flowers, the leaves, the twigs, or the branches. You must place water on the root. What is the root? The great Thakur is telling us that the root of the creeper of divine love is service to the Vaishnavas. All things are attained if the root is healthy. But we know that offenses to Vaishnava is a mad elephant offense. When you offend Vaishnavas, you are actually damaging the very root of the creeper of devotion. There's no more critical danger to any plant than damage to the root. You can break a branch, it will grow back. You will pick leaves and flowers, they will grow back. You damage the root, serious problem. The whole plant could die. Serving devotees is watering the root by which the entire creeper will flourish. Offending devotees is cutting the root. With great ecstatic love, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praising the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees and the service to the Vaishnavas. Second verse, I observe with great care the holy days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami, for they are the mother of devotion. Ekadasi comes twice a month on the 11th day of the waxing and waning moon. Brahma Vaivarta Purana describes by following Ekadasi properly and performing the fast, one becomes free of all sinful reactions, of various sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada explains the basic principle of the spirit of following Ekadasi. It is to minimize our materialistic activities and maximize hearing and chanting
the names and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains that the perfection of Ekadasi is to always remember the pastimes of Govinda and to constantly chant his holy names. Some devotees have various levels of fasting to offer some austerity, to minimize their bodily needs, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending our bodily needs, so they can utilize that same amount of time and energy in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. Some devotees, they stay up all night on Ekadasi, just chanting the holy names. 1971, I was living in a Gaudiya Math, and one Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was in the same Math with me. This is before I came to Srila Prabhupada. And every Ekadasi, he would just, from early morning till the next morning, he would just be doing kirtan and japa. That's all. Sometimes he would go to Imlital. Sometimes he'd ask people, you can come with me if you like. And he would just be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Everyone would be going to, Hare Krishna, he would be chanting. He was actually a Paramahamsa. He could just chant japa all night long in ecstasy. It wasn't an austerity for him. He would look forward to Ekadasis. Haribol. And the festivals. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about these wonderful festivals to celebrate the Lord's appearance, his activities, and the appearance and activities of his devotees. Like Janmashtami. Janmashtami is such a famous celebration. Even people who don't even know who Krishna is, they celebrate Janmashtami. In a few days is Christmas. In the Western world, people who don't even believe in Jesus, they celebrate Christmas. Because it's just such a pious religious ceremony, or it just gives joy to the heart. But if we actually celebrate these festivals with knowledge, according to the guidelines of the great saints, what great spiritual merit there is. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, he describes, it is one of the very, very sacred principles of bhakti is to have glorious, lavish celebrations on these holy days. With whatever money we have, with whatever expertise we have, we should just use it to celebrate the glorious festival of the Lord. And what is the purpose of celebrating these festivals? To please Krishna. Krishna's pleased when we come to chant his glories, to work for many, many days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, to make arrangements for his pleasure. And he's very, very pleased when we make arrangements that call so many devotees and so many conditioned souls to come to his lotus feet. Why does he experience pleasure? Because he loves us and it's good for us. He bestows his mercy. Ratha Yatra, such a wonderful festival. Anyone who sees Jagannath in his cart, pulls the rope of the cart, hears the holy name of the devotees chanting in kirtan of Ratha Yatra, they will attain love of God in due course of time. That is certain. There was a prostitute, low-class person. She happened to just be walking, and she just happened to accidentally come to a temple where they were celebrating Radhashtami, and she was curious, what is this? And they said, can you wash some things and make some flower garlands? So she began doing it, and she actually found some happiness doing it. She went back home, back to Godhead, to be an eternal maidservant of Radharani. That is the power of Radhashtami. So these wonderful festivals, Govardhan Puja, Gaur Purnima, Dola Yatra, Nityananda Trayodasi, Varaha Dwadasi, Vamana Dwadasi, Narasingha Chaturdasi, all of these festivals, such an incredible opportunity to make such immense spiritual progress. Because on these holy days, the Lord actually incarnates in those days to give His mercy. And in the association of devotees, we participate with enthusiasm. And Krishna showers unlimited mercy upon us. Therefore, it is one of the signs of a very healthy society of Vaishnavas that these festivals are celebrated with incredible degrees of enthusiasm and happiness. When large numbers of people come to the temples to celebrate these festivals with great happiness, seeing the deity worshipped so nicely, dancing and singing with the devotees, hearing Hari Katha, sometimes fasting, sometimes feasting. This is the sign of a spiritually vibrant society. And therefore it's so important, according to Rupa Goswami, that in our temples and even in our homes, if we're celebrating a temple, that's the home of Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are satisfied. If you satisfy Radha Gopinath with big festival, then your home has celebrated the best festival. But if there's not a temple close by in your home, it should be great, wonderful arrangements. Srila Prabhupada, 70 years old, actually he was 69, one day away from 70 years old. He was on Jaladuta, somewhere in the Red Sea or something like that. And in the middle of the ocean, it was Janmashtami. And he had a big festival on the Jaladuta. He was cooking kichoris for Krishna and making nice arrangements for everything he could get. Where do you go shopping for flowers in the middle of the ocean? There's nothing there in a steamship, cargo ship. But it was Janmashtami. He wasn't thinking, well, how are we going to celebrate here? Middle of ocean. There's no place to buy the proper paraphernalia. Whatever he had, he just gave his heart and soul to make a wonderful festival. And he invited all these people on the crew who weren't the slightest bit interested in spiritual life. They were just workers. But he invited them all. And he gave a lecture about Janmashtami. And he led them in kirtan. And he cooked prasad and gave them prasad. And they all became ecstatic. So this is Prabhupada's example. How to celebrate these festivals according to our capacity for the pleasure of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is here explaining that the observance of celebrating Ekadasi and these festivals are the mother of devotion. The mother for an infant child provides milk, which nourishes the child with life. Little children, they really can't eat anything else. Little babies, you have seen, all they can do is drink their mother's milk. That sustains them. It gives them life. It gives them health. And by drinking that mother's milk, they grow and they grow and they grow. That is the effect of celebrating the Vaishnava holidays. They are the mother that gives us the milk of devotion, that nourishes us, our spiritual lives, causes us to spiritually grow and become satisfied. I choose with the greatest of reverence and love the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one of the five most important of the 64 items of devotional service is to reside in Mathura, Vrindavan. Such residence is so purifying to the heart. Srila Prabhupada explains that when you go to Vrindavan, naturally you become enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. The entire environment is just surcharged with bhakti. When we're living in various materialistic places in the world, we have to fight against the environment to somehow or other maintain the standards of enthusiasm for devotional service. But in Mathura, Vrindavan, Navadvip Dham, it's natural to be a devotee, everyone. Nobody says namaskar or hello. Everyone says Hare Krishna, Radhe Radhe. 5,000 temples everywhere you go. There's aartis. Some devotees go to 7 Mangal aartis every day. Hare Krishna. Such a wonderful life. Everyone is worshipping Krishna. And everywhere you go, there's some place, there's a kadamba tree where Krishna jumped from to dance on Kaliya. There is Jamuna. There is Govardhan. We're constantly reminded of Krishna in Vrindavan. It is Srimati Radharani's eternal abode. It is surcharged, it is saturated with devotion. The greatness of Vrindavan, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He wrote a prayer in his ecstatic enthusiasm to glorify Sri Vrindavan Dham. He said that anyone who smells a flower that's from Vrindavan, who tastes a fruit that grew in Vrindavan, anyone who has been touched by the breeze that blew in Vrindavan, anyone in any place of the world that bows down in the direction of Vrindavan, or anyone who even once speaks the name Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki, then anywhere that person dies, he will attain the abode of the Lord. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Srila Prabhupada explains that to live in Vrindavan is not simply in the physical sense, but it's to remember Krishna, to remember Sri Radharani and their associates, to remember their pastimes in Vrindavan, to remember their wonderful teachings, and to hear, to chant, and to remember with love and sincere devotion their holy names. That is also living in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in purport, he says, New Vrindavan is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. It takes a lot of realizations these days to appreciate that. And then he explains, because the same activities of Goloka Vrindavan are going on there. Simple living, high thinking, everybody is just trying to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to worship Krishna, to glorify Krishna. And in this sense, every temple is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. If we're all centered around the service of the deities, Radharani and Krishna, they never leave Vrindavan. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So wherever there is the deities of Radha and Krishna, Sri Radha Gopinath and their beloved associates, that is Vrindavan. Krishna tells Narada Muni,
wherever my devotees come together to chant my holy names, I will always reside in that place. If he never leaves Vrindavan, that means wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan is taking place, that is Vrindavan. The third verse, all those places, this verse is very nice. All those places where Lord Gaurasundar traveled for pastimes, I will visit in the company of loving devotees. Every year we have these yatras. We are visiting the holy places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his leelas in the association of loving devotees, following in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he toured practically every holy place in all of India. When you go to Pandharpur, that's Mahaprabhu had so many pastimes in Pandharpur. He even performed his pastimes in Bombay. Haribol, how merciful. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Bombay and performed leelas here. When we go to Vrindavan, Kurukshetra, Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, all the places of South India, Tirupati, Srirangam, these are all holy places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his leelas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is rejoicing within his heart of hearts with anticipation to go on pilgrimage to these holy places in the association of loving devotees. And what do we do when we go on pilgrimage to these holy places? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not talking about shopping at Loy Bazaar. He's talking about hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord day and night in the association of devotees. If we go alone to these places, our tendency is to go shopping or to get sleepy. But when we're with so many devotees, this year we had 1,000 devotees that went to Sri Vrindavan Dham during Katatik. And whatever you feel like, you kind of give up your independence. Today we're going to Barasana. Everyone's dancing, so you dance. There's nothing but Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, and just breathing in the sacred dust of Braj Bhumi. 24 hours a day. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagarananda Pandit, you should go to Vrindavan, but you should be always in the association of Sanatana Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada explains purport to this, that if a devotee goes to a holy place, he's certain to commit various offenses due to not really understanding the true spirit by which we should be in that place. Therefore, we should associate with saintly persons in these places. Srila Vyasadeva writes in 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is to go to holy places to take bath without association with the holy man. Because when we are in the association of devotees, they reveal the spirit as well as the knowledge of the Dham to us. And these pilgrimages are so very, very important. All of our acharyas have gone on pilgrimages to the holy places. Madhvacharya, he just traveled all over India to the holy places. Ramanujacharya traveled all over India from Badrikashram down to Kanyakumari and all the holy places in between, worshipping the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was longing to go to Vrindavan. After he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he was running to Vrindavan. And a voice came from the sky and said, you have descended into this world
to establish Harinam Sankirtan for the deliverance of the fallen souls. So you should go back to Navadvip and do that. Later you can go to Vrindavan. Please forgive us, but we want to remind you of your mission. So Mahaprabhu didn't go to Vrindavan, he went to Navadvip, which is none different than Vrindavan. And there he established Harinam Sankirtan. After taking sannyas, katva, from Srila Keshav Bharati Maharaj, immediately began running to Vrindavan. Keshav Bharati was with him. Actually, they were dancing in ecstasy and kirtan to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu tricked him and sent him to Shantipur. And then Sachimat said, please go to Jagannath Puri, which is the abode of Jagannath. The same Krishna that's in Vrindavan is living in Puri as Jagannath. So go there and be happy. It's close by. We'll be able to hear your glories. But even in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu, when he would think about Vrindavan, his ecstasies would increase 100 times. When he was traveling through Jharikhanda and the various places in his tour, that ecstasy increased 100s of times. When he attained the outskirts of Mathura, that ecstasy increased 100s of times. When he actually entered into Mathura, that ecstasy increased 1000s of times. And when he was wandering through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, that ecstasy increased unlimitedly. That was his enthusiasm. Nityananda Prabhu went to all the holy places. He traveled for 20 years on pilgrimage and ultimately remained in Vrindavan until he heard the news that Lord Chaitanya had begun Harinam Sankirtan movement. Then he went to Navadvip. We find 6 Goswamis, they resided their whole life in Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, they went on pilgrimages to all the holy places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela and Krishna's Leela. They would visit Jagannath Puri, they would visit the various places, Srikhanda, Ekachakra. They went to Vrindavan so many times. Srila Prabhupada, he talks about when he was young, he used to read the Indian Railway timetable to see what time the trains were going to Jagannath Puri when he was a little boy. So eager to go to the holy places. And on several occasions he visited Vrindavan, especially to meet his beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur. He met him at Koshi, he met him at Radhakund. At that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur was leading a parikrama of 1000s of people to the 12 forests of Vrindavan. He established it, and he wanted it to continue. And thus, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, he established centers. And this was so important to him. As far as I understand, every center in the world was developed through local management and local finances. But the centers that Srila Prabhupada, he called for international, the best men of the world and women to come to manage these centers. And he took finances from all the places in the world to establish centers in Vrindavan and Mayapur. And he explained why. He said the followers from all over the world should be able to come to Sri Mayapur Dham and Sri Vrindavan Dham to be purified by the sanctified atmosphere, to make great spiritual advancement, to become spiritually recharged, and then go back to their places with ever-renewed Krishna consciousness. There's only one other place that Srila Prabhupada used international funding to establish a temple, and that was Bombay. So we can understand how important Prabhupada considered the preaching of Bombay to be.
because he had his pastimes here, and Lord Chaitanya had his pastimes here. It's a holy place. But unless you're in the temple, you will likely forget. So these yatras are a sacred tradition. Sometimes I have heard that the devotees think that the yatra is some type of sense gratification. That let me just do my work. You go to the yatra. You know, I'll stay back and do my work. You enjoy. I'll do some seva. But actually, if it's some type of sense gratification, why all of our acharyas were eager? Not only were they eager, but they trained and ordered devotees to go on these pilgrimages. It is an essential necessity for our spiritual lives to be in the company of loving devotees and go to these places. And if we don't feel an attraction to do it, we should do it as an austerity because we need it. That is the conclusion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Number four, my mind always begs for the opportunity to hear the music of the mridanga. Upon hearing the kind of kirtan ordained by Lord Gaurachandra, my heart dances in ecstasy. There's a beautiful prayer which describes what the mridanga is saying when he's making these sounds. He's saying, for all you people who are not worshiping the divine son of Yashoda Mayi, for all of you who are not hearing the glorious names of the son of Nanda Maharaj, for all of you people who are not listening to the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, for all of you who are not engaged in Harinam Sankirtan, you are all uselessly wasting your lives.